And I remember sitting there for a long time, which for me was probably a minute or two, you know, with just silence. And I couldn't take it anymore. And I remember saying, Mom, I guess this means you don't love us anymore. And I'll never forget, she sits up and she goes, this has nothing to do with love. I will always love you, but I am tremendously disappointed in you. And I knew right then, okay, it's 2 a.m. I've just been brought home by the police, and she still loves me. And it was like something broke inside me.
From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. This podcast brings together timeless wisdom and practical help and hope to blended families and those who love them. Before we jump into our conversation with John Trent and Carrie Stageberg, I wanted to remind you that we just released the 10th anniversary edition of my video curriculum, The Smart Step Family. Now, this week is the Summit on Step Family Ministry, and if you're not going to be able to join us in Chesapeake, Virginia for that, I want you to know that the All Access Digital Pass is available. If you're interested in that digital pass, just go to the show notes, and we'll let you know how you can get a hold of that. Have you ever put money into a vending machine and nothing came out? Maybe you tried again and again it devoured your money without giving anything back? Yeah, what are you feeling right about that moment? Angry, frustrated, unfulfilled? Now imagine a child who spends much of their childhood, or adulthood for that matter, putting a little of themselves into their parent, hoping to get back a word of encouragement or an "I'm proud of you." But they seldom or never get something back. What that child wants is a parental blessing. What they get back is a question mark about their worth. Now, that scenario might be something you've heard about or something you can personally relate to. On this podcast, we're going to be talking about how parents and step-parents can bestow what John Trent calls the blessing on their children. Now, let me tell you something. There is so much promise for blended families in offering this blessing within their household. I think it builds up your child, but it also has the potential to soften hearts, build trust, and bridge gaps between people. But as you'll hear, it's not a magic bullet. It still requires commitment to the process and patience. But there is real promise in today's discussion. Please take it to heart. My guests today are Dr. John Trent and his daughter, Carrie Trent Stageberg. You may remember Dr. Gary Smalley, great speaker and author on marriage and family relationships. John and Gary wrote the first edition of this book called The Blessing. Now, John and his daughter, Carrie, have put out a new edition of this great book, The Blessing. John is president of StrongFamilies.com, an award-winning author and conference speaker, and the founding chair of the Gary Chapman Institute at Moody Theological Seminary, and, I should add, a really nice guy and a good friend. Carrie Stageberg, his daughter, is the CEO of Strong Families, an author and a speaker. Here's our conversation. You know, John, since you and Gary Smalley wrote the first edition of The Blessing, millions of people have purchased the book, and I would venture to say millions more. I know, because of the ripples of what happens. One person buys and reads, but that impacts their marriage, their kids, generations, on and on and on. Millions of people have been impacted by the message of this book. It keeps selling. The publisher keeps coming back to you. Now, Carrie has joined you on the fourth edition of this book. I'm convinced it touches a deep need in people's lives. That's why they keep buying.
Yeah.
What is that need that it impacts?
Wow. Well, first of all, I have lots of relatives, so they keep...
you don't have millions of relatives.
Yeah, not millions, you're right. No, that's just God's grace, but I think you're right. I think really a couple of things. Hmm. Are you familiar with a guy named Simon Sinek?
Yes.
Okay, so he has this thing called the Golden Rope, and you know, he has like a billion views on his TED Talks and things. But really what he does is really gets people to focus on the why question. question.
Hmm.
I started to understand my why that was so important to me when I was working in a psychiatric hospital. I know there's been some question. I was working there. And
but, are you
in
sure?
My internship. Yeah. So it's my first day in the job. So this is how the whole book came about.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm at BBO Memorial Hospital. It's in Dallas, Texas. It's a different name now. This is a long time ago. It's a locked-in 23-bed unit psychiatric ward. I'd never even seen a psychotic patient.
Mm.
Okay, I'm a doctoral student working for Paul Meyer and Frank Minerth. I was their first intern.
Okay.
Minerth and Meyer, if you've ever heard of that. I'm a brand new intern, right? So they asked me to go down and admit somebody. How hard is that? So I go down, and it's a Wycliffe missionary lady that had had a break on the field, and her parents were there, and they were Christians. This wasn't total just Christian facility, but they're believers. So we were in a little intake room, so I prayed with them and took her in the elevator up to the third floor. Well, they didn't tell me as a new intern, you do not take the violent psychotic patients in the elevator to the third floor. You walk them up the stairs.
Good warning, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I never saw the first punch, which broke my nose again. It had been broken twice earlier, but this one didn't help because you're not making great eye contact with people, right?
Right, you know? Right.
And she's trying to kill me. I'm screaming. She's screaming. And of course, they probably hear us coming up the elevator and think another intern or something, you know. But the door opens and they restrain her and they have to restrain me because you know, it's a girl. You can't hit her. You can't go anywhere in the elevator. But have you ever broken your nose?
No,
you know,
I haven't.
You gotta stuff up your nose, but you're locked in. It's a 12-hour shift. You're locked in. You know, so you're like, well. So I remember walking into the group room trying to orient myself after cleaning myself up as good as I could, and here's this guy, in about my age. And I go, well, so I sit down and I figure he's an intern and maybe he got beat up his first day, you know. And so I sit down talking to him and he's very consoling. And then he reaches out and pats me and says, hey, you know, you're going to do fine. You know, I'm sure that was just an anomaly. And his sweater pulls back and his wrists are bandaged. And he was a patient, but he helped me a lot while he was there. And and part of why it helped me so much was, so I sat for the next 4 hours in a group room with a guy that had just, and this is no joke, he had just gotten his first B as in boy, not D as in dog, ever.
Wow.
In his life. He was a senior in college.
Mm.
And he knew with his dad and with just how he was raised that dad was a straight A student. And this was a PE course. And he gets a B in the course. And he literally went back to his room and begged the teacher to try to, you know, do something. And if his roommate hadn't miraculously, I think it was the Lord, you know, just come back to the dorm room, he would have bled out and died.
Wow.
And bottom line is, you know, it was so tough hearing this story of living with never measuring up. I mean, but maybe he could, but now he knew he never would and he couldn't go back home. And it just was so, and then that night, guess what I'm reading? That night I'm preparing because the next day my wife and I are teaching a Sunday school class with young couples. And I read Genesis chapter 27 with Jacob and Esau.
Mm.
Do you remember that? Remember
that
story? And I'm a twin. I've always liked that story because, frankly, because my mom always liked Jeff best. but there's Jacob and Esau. And so Jacob gets the blessing, and we won't go into all that.
Right.
You know, tricks his way into it.
Right.
But he gets it, right?
Yep.
He walks out the tent. Who walks right in?
Esau, who thinks he's going to get the blessing.
And he says, arise, my father, and eat of your son's game that you might bless me. And his dad goes, well, who are you? And he goes, well, I'm Esau, your firstborn. And he goes, well, who was it that came and ate of all of it? And I blessed him, and yes, he shall be blessed. Meaning back then, I mean, I don't have it.
Hmm.
You know, I know you're the oldest, but the younger got it and you don't get it. And when Esau heard the words of his father, it says in Genesis 27, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said, bless me, even me also, O my father. Now, I had read that and you've heard that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have. It's like, yeah, but I'm telling you, that night it was literally like scales falling off my eyes because now I had a word for it. Do you see what I'm getting at? Yeah. Now I had a word for that guy that I was sitting with. He didn't get the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know exactly what it was. And so that's really where blessing became my doctoral dissertation. It became, you know, this book that Gary and I did. And now, awesomely, Carrie, just great voice and just for processing and the whole millennial thing, and has written a bunch of new stuff. So that's really kind of where this whole thing came about, was I heard all these echoes in my own life and heart, and we can get into some of this. So I saw it in the life of others, I saw it in my own life, and you know, right there in scripture, and it just all came together.
Now, Carrie, as you've been listening to this story, and I know you've heard it before, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, a couple times.
But at the same time, now, as John said, you are part of this project. It's kind of like one generation, the next generation, getting to join in communicating this to everybody. I can only imagine how the kind of reflections you have about how this one day in your dad's life has so influenced his ministry, his career, your life, your family's lives, you know, generations moving forward. And now you are being a part of this. I mean, where do we begin in terms of how you've seen this one day impact your family?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, you know, what an honor to get to be a part of that legacy, you know, with him and Gary, and just what an honor to get to be a part of it. And, you know, I think one of the great things about my dad, not to brag on him too much or he'll kick me off the podcast, but, you know, everything that he writes about, he did with us. And so really what you're reading in the blessing are things that he's actually done in our family. But, you know, for our family and for so many families out there, you know, as a parent, you can do all the right things, you can say all the right things, but your kids still have a choice. And for a huge period of my life, I chose not to believe it. And even really questioned, you know, is God who he says he is, and walked away from faith and ended up actually in an abusive relationship. And when I came out of all of that, you know, I'll never forget sitting down with my dad, and I just, you know, I was thinking he was going to tell me, get lost. You know, we've had enough. You've put us through it. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he just said, Carrie, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. And he gave me his blessing. You know, so I've really seen it. That gave me permission. You know, it gave my dad an answer to why, you know, his dad had bailed out and how he could heal. But it gave me permission to continue to move forward with the Lord, with God's calling on my life. So, I mean, the blessing for our family has, it really has, like you said, impacted generations.
Okay. So there was a whole lot of what you just said. There are many layers, and I'm trying hard not to forget all of them. We're going to come back to a couple of them in a minute about you heard the blessing, but you didn't quite internalize it or believe it. But let me jump off at that one spot about you desperately in that moment very much wanted your dad's love, approval. What he ended up giving you was the blessing, but but you still needed that so desperately, even as an adult. That's the why.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
It's that we all want that approval from our parents.
Yeah.
Yep. That unconditional love and acceptance.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me, guys, that that's a really good thing. It's a God-given thing. And yet, that's fragile. Like, because our parents are imperfect. I'm a parent. I know I'm imperfect. Should we want the blessing from our parents? And to what degree?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. But, you know, a big part of that is, I think, tied in with the first time you hear the Father speak, God the Father speak in the New Testament is when Jesus comes up out of the baptism. You know, he's just been baptized and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And then there's this booming voice, you know, this is my beloved son. He blesses him right there.
Wow.
And I think there's a deep need. Lewis talks about, C.S. Lewis, who is a great theologian, talks about this thing called the weight of glory. The weight of glory. Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't you think that's, okay, God's so cool, you know, he's really weighty, that, you know, really, really bad. That's not it. It's the divine acceptance that maybe God, and actually he does, maybe God really could say to us, you know, that we're valuable, that we're accepted. Right. So I think what it is there's this divine echo, and we want our parents to pick it up. But sometimes you're right. With all the brokenness, it doesn't happen. It didn't happen with my dad. And there's some people listening where, you know, maybe they've got a kid and they're thinking, well, man, you know, that's why my kid is hurting so much today, because they didn't get the blessing. And we can talk about reversing the curse and all of those things today. But it was a huge why. And then, but once you get God's blessing, you can even bless people that never gave you the blessing, which is what happened to us. And it frees you. So we're going to get to talk about freedom and encouragement. And I just I want people just to think, oh, well, this isn't just a step into the past and let's stay there. Carrie mentioned it. The blessing unleashes you to really, really go for life and love. And it is really powerful. So
That's amazing. The divine echo. I love that language. Yeah. And I know that's a two-way street. Not only is there an echo in the sense that God created this need for the blessing into our family relationships, but when we either don't get it or do get it, either way, it reminds us that God is wanting to bless us.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that hard sometimes to rely on that blessing from God or to hear it? Carrie, how did that work in your life?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, God really just felt very abstract. You know, I kept hearing, you know, connect with him, pray, listen to the Lord. And it just sort of felt like, well, I don't know how to do any of that. And is he even really involved or really active in my life? You know, and it really was that place of surrender of just saying, okay, God, my way clearly is not working. You know, let's try it yours. And he began to show me piece by piece that I was his beloved daughter and that he did choose me and that he wasn't a God of, you know, rules and vindictiveness, but a God of love and redemption and getting to watch that story play out. But it is a process and you do have to trust him. You know, he loves us right where we're at, but he doesn't want to leave us there.
Yeah.
He wants to move us down a road of healing and redemption with him. And sometimes that requires removing some of those things from our lives that are blocking us from really experiencing that.
Okay, Carrie, let me follow up. One of the things I'm aware of, having worked with a lot of blended family couples now in therapy in particular for 25 years and in ministry for 25 years, one of the things that I'm aware of, and this is an opinion, so I may not be right about this, that people who find themselves in blended family situations, not everybody, not even close to everybody, but many have had multiple wounds on their heart.
Yeah.
Going back to family of origin, maybe a first marriage, you know, maybe you're a child and mom and dad divorce and you're caught in the middle with loyalty issues, all that kind of stuff. And so they come into a blended family and now there's even more confusion about roles and relationships and bonding and connecting with new people and trying to figure out authorities in your life if you're a kid. And, and so finding a blessing is even more challenging.
Yeah.
The need for a blessing is even more challenging. So I want to dial back down to something you said. You said you couldn't hear it from God for whatever reason. It was abstract. It was hard. And then somewhere something changed and now you're hearing God. Mm-hmm. What changed? What was different in you that allowed you to hear him at that season of your life where you couldn't before?
There were definitely a couple of things that changed, but the biggest one is I had been in that abusive relationship and I really had just reached the end of my rope.
Hmm.
You know, one night he had gotten really violent and left. And normally, you know, he would just go in the other room and play video games or something. But that particular evening he left. And I just remember saying, it was like, there was just a different feeling in my heart of, God, either you get me out or I can't do this anymore. And so I just said, okay, God, I don't care what you do and I don't care how you do it. If you're real, get me out. And, you know, 10 minutes later, there was a knock at the door and, you know, a friend who had a safe place for me to stay. And, you know, that wasn't the end of the story. The average victim actually goes back 7 times. And that was probably number 5 on the journey of my story. But that was the first time where I really felt like God was listening. But, you know, that's the thing. God opens doors for us, but we have to choose to walk through them. And sometimes that's a process, you know, and just like with the blessing, you know, someone can be giving it to you, but at some point you have to choose to say, all right, you know what? I may not believe all of that, but I'm gonna try to believe at least a piece of that and then another piece and another piece and really start walking that journey of blessing.
I hear the word surrender in what you're saying. You surrendered more to God and your ears were open in some different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it took a lot. I was pretty stubborn. So, but surrender is key.
Yeah. So as I'm listening, I'm thinking about our listener. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe this is number four or number five or number six. And whatever the roadblock is for you in your life, and you're thinking, I just don't know how to hear him. Well, you know, maybe just once again, revisiting surrender and trying to listen with a deeper level of trust. Is that the beginning, maybe, of hearing
well,
it?
Well, yeah, in a lot of ways. You know, there's a great verse that we get people to just camp out on. It's Deuteronomy 23:5, and it says this, "The Lord your God," now listen to the repetition coming up, "the Lord your God was not willing that the curse rest upon you." So there's this blessing and there's the curse, okay? Mm-hmm. Earlier in Deuteronomy, it says, you know, "I've set before you a choice, life for death, the blessing or the curse." Life means movement. Okay, you want to get moving? Well, you don't have to. You can choose death. That's stepping away. Are you going to move towards or are you going to step away? And that's the choice in blended families. That's the choice really in any relationship. Are we going to step towards, well, man, they're not cooperating. Well, are you going to step towards them, life or death? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to do blessing or curse? Blessing means to add value, to wait. You know, I know my mom, single parent mom, I was a mess. You know, I have a really smart twin brother. My older brother was great, athletics. I was great at getting in trouble, kicked out of school. I was the angry single parent kid and just a mess, you know. But I thank God that my mom in particular, and that's, I saw it first in her. And I'm telling you, that's why everybody needs at least one person in her life that's crazy about it. And so it's a choice. She had to choose to keep seeing value in me. Well, wait a minute. Guess what the curse means? The curse means to dam up the stream. So instead of adding value, add, you subtract. So let's go back to that verse real quick. Now, "but the Lord your God was not willing that subtraction rest upon you." And that's what so many of us feel. I mean, somebody's walked away, you know, the woman at the well, you know. What did Jesus offer the woman at the well? Do you remember?
Living water.
So the Lord was not willing that all that subtraction rest on you, but the Lord your God, second time, turned the curse into a blessing for you because, third time, the Lord your God. And I think that's what Carrie's saying. I mean, there was a time when she had heard it, we had blessed her. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Carrie? Probably every night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I still remember the blessing song you and Mom created.
Song. I know, we'd sing to her.
It didn't rhyme, but you know. No,
but it sounded great when Cindy did it because she has a great voice. But she wasn't hearing it, okay?
Yeah.
And if you have more than one kid, guess what? They're going to respond differently. Mm-hmm. Some kids are like, give it to me right now. Other kids are like, well, prove it to me. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times in blended families, then it's like, you know, yeah, right, I've heard that before, but somebody has left. Yep. See, that's the subtraction part.
Right.
But that's where you just have to sit there and you say, Lord, okay, independent of the response. And let me tell you, I was heck on, or, you know, I just, so it's about 2 at night. I've been out with some despicable people like me. But the cop brings us home, okay, beats on the door. My mom's a rheumatoid arthritic. She comes struggling down the hallway, you know, woken up in the middle of the night. And, you know, he yells at us on the porch there and then sends us inside. And I remember sitting down at the table with my mom. And she doesn't say anything, which is worse than being yelled at.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember sitting there for a long time, which for me was probably a minute or two, you know, with just silence. And I couldn't take it anymore. And I remember saying, Mom, I guess this means you don't love us anymore. And I'll never forget, she sits up and she goes, this has nothing to do with love. I will always love you, but I am tremendously disappointed in you. And I knew right then, okay, it's 2 in the morning, I've just been brought home by the police, and she still loves me. And it was like something broke inside me. It's tough, man, saying, I'm going to choose to bless.
Yeah.
But, man, you can make that choice, and it can make a huge difference in somebody's life.
I want to chase this a little further, guys, because I see a couple of challenges in blended families in particular for the parent and step-parent to do just what you're talking about. And for the listener who's wondering, how do you give a blessing? We're going to cover the five elements. Hold on. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. But let's talk for a minute about how do you move toward? And I love that description, moving toward is life, moving away is death, carried into the Hebrew words in the Bible. How do you move toward a child who doesn't want you there? Yeah. Or is confused about your presence in their life, a stepchild perhaps, or an adult child who's your biological son or daughter, and they've been through hard things, you've now married somebody else, they feel like you've abandoned them or something. For whatever reason, they're not sure they want your blessing. How do you maintain that sense of, you said it, independent of their response, you keep trying to offer, as your mom did you in that moment, I still love you. I am disappointed, but you continue to be there. Where do you find the resolve to do that?
Well, I think some of it really does come from knowing that you have the blessing yourself. Because when you know that you are unconditionally loved, it's a lot easier to give that to someone else, even if they're not responsive. And that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt or it's not frustrating or it can't be a challenge. But I think really when you know in your heart of hearts that you are unconditionally loved, it frees you up to be able to take those continual steps. And, you know, really it's that last element of the blessing. It's that genuine commitment of saying, no matter what, good, bad, ugly, I'm going to be there. Yeah. And continuing to say that. And there really are. And I was one of those people that I needed someone to prove it, you know. And my poor husband, Joey, you know, when I met him about 6 years later after all of that, I mean, it was. I had so much fear around, well, you're just going to bail out too, or you don't really mean what you say. And, you know, it was those continual small 2-degree continual consistency. Those were the things that really dismantled my armor to help me say, you know what, you really mean it.
Okay, I want to key in on that because I had the same thought before we started the podcast. The five elements of the blessing, we're going to walk through them, but I'm going to ask you guys to start with number five first for the very reason that Carrie just said. Maintaining a sense of commitment to supporting the person you're blessing, spouse, child, stepchild, whoever it is. Commitment, I think in a blended family in particular, has to be established first because you may not get the receptivity that you're looking for. You may not get an immediate response or a thank you or an appreciation. And so you got to have that as the foundation. Tell me about that, maintaining a sense of commitment. Talk about that element.
Well, I'll jump in just to say water has a hard time rising above its level. Have you ever been to Seattle?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You know, they have these boats that come in and they go into these locks and then it raises them up and then they can move forward, you know. But you need something to kind of lift you up is what I'm getting at. Let me give you an example. So, you know, I was a mess. And then all of a sudden, my senior year, I meet this guy. He's a big 6'4", ex-Chico State offensive tackle named Doug Barham. He was my young life leader. Ever heard of Young Life?
Yes.
Worked with high school kids like me that were incorrigible, didn't go to church. We went to the library occasionally on Sunday, but we never went to church. But we started going to Young Life because of all the cute girls and then I started listening to Doug and a bunch of us. Well, he tricked six of us on the football team into going to this Billy Graham movie. And this guy gets up, and this is what I remember. Okay. So do you know what I mean? A Billy Graham movie, you know, they could do an invitation.
Yes.
Well, I'd never heard an invitation. Huh. Everybody thinks everybody's heard, you know, but we didn't hear. And this guy goes, do you want to change the pictures of your life story? And so five of the six of us walked down and gave our lives to Christ.
Wow.
Four out of the five of us are still going on with our faith, and one of us is already in heaven. Don died in a plane crash. But I'll never forget, and I'm almost done, so stay with me on this. Guess what he gave me when I walked down there? My first Bible. And he had put a card in there, and then he had underlined where it was. It was Hebrews 13:5. And Hebrews 13:5 says this, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And he goes, okay, John, I want you to go home, and I want you to read this 100 times. Okay, now he's meaning it metaphorically. Read it a lot. I thought he was being serious. So I go home that night and I got my piece of paper. And so I go, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One. For he himself, I started doing a tally thing. I get to about 60 and I am weeping. And, you know, my dad bailed out when I was 2 months old. When I did meet him, he was an angry alcoholic and I wanted his blessing so much, but I never got it. And I was so angry and hurt. And of course, I took that out on my mom and, and, you know, she was the only one there, single parent home. But we were horrible. I mean, when she, a few times she went out on a date, we'd try to ruin them. I mean, you know, we were just a mess, you know. But I'm telling you, I read that and all of a sudden I am weeping and I realize, wait a minute, this guy named Jesus just came into my life. Well, genuine commitment, you know, it's like once you get the blessing from him, man, you're able to give it to somebody without the expectation because you're, you know, your cup's full. Now, that doesn't mean people can't punch a hole in your heart and emotions and it's a choice and everything else. But I'm telling you, that's where genuine commitment begins, is knowing that there's somebody that loves you and is never going to bail on you. So that's what you get to model.
I want to comment on something John just said deep in that story, and then we'll come back to the other elements of the blessing. Maybe, Carrie, maybe you can talk a little bit about meaningful touch. But to the person listening right now, I just want you to hear the narrative there. When John's mom went on dates, they tried to ruin it.
Yeah.
why would a kid do that? Well, deep in that story is this narrative of a kid who didn't have the blessing from dad, didn't know who he was, didn't know God's blessing on his life, and he simply doesn't want to lose what he has.
Yeah.
And if mom moves in a direction away from us, that feels like death to a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom's movement is always toward us, but now mom's movement is toward, she's giving life to some other relationship. That feels like death to a child. In a blended family, that's where that tug and pull comes, parents. And you just need to hear that that rises out, that emptiness in a child, to the point where what they do on the outside is try to ruin your day, trying to ruin this, trying to get in the way of the relationship, don't receive the relationship, don't necessarily trust the new people that are in their life. Sometimes that's the way all this ripples out.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about you as it is about them desperately needing more blessing in their heart and their life to know that they've not been forgotten and that they still hold value.
Yeah. And for us, I probably shouldn't tell you this story, but I'll tell you anyway, just to encourage some parents out there. So I remember one time, one of the dates my mom went on, you know, she said, all right, I'm going to be home at 10. Let's say it was 10. Okay. 10 comes, she's not there. So we thought, oh, well, okay, 10:15, 10:20. So we thought something funny to do is we'd go in her room and we'd take something out of her room. So we moved, she had like a nightstand thing, and we moved it out of the room. Well, now it's 10:30, she's still not there. We keep moving furniture. Now we're like almost in high school, you know. So we're and three boys, you know. Well, actually, it was just Jeff and I. Joe didn't do it. But the point is we start moving all of her furniture out on the back porch. Okay, she gets home about midnight. And we're still up. We're acting like we're asleep.
Uh-huh.
And she takes forever. She drinks coffee. She does something in the kitchen forever. And then she finally comes down and opens the door. And we've literally moved everything in her room, the bed and everything, out on the back. And, of course, we did have to put the bed back for her to go to bed and everything else in the morning.
How grounded were you after
well,
that?
Well, I know. We were, you know, so we were a mess. So, I mean, you know, so at least you can go, at least my kids weren't as bad as them. Okay.
Yeah.
But I hear you. You know, it's like, you know, well, how dare you, you know, again, when the police brought us home, I was grounded for, you know, weeks. I hope you're hearing that, you know, genuine commitment doesn't mean the lack of discipline
or boundaries.
Yeah. You don't let people just, you know, dishonor. And that's the tough part. But man, I'm telling you, if you look at somebody says, you know, where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. It says in scripture. So bottom line is when you say to them, you have great value to me, okay? But we can wear down, you know, Isaiah 40, even young men, you know, stumble badly. And yet those who wait on the Lord. So you just got to say, Lord, like with Carrie, when she was struggling, and man, for 5 years we lost her. And there is nothing harder than somebody stepping away from you and the Lord and everything else. But every time we'd meet with her, you know, again, we didn't pay for her rent to go do tough stuff. But I think you knew, right?
That absolutely. Yeah. Now, you guys were so intentional with that, and it was incredibly helpful, even though it was I couldn't hear it through the lens of hurt that I was living in at the time. But, you know, I still have some of those letters that you and Mom wrote to me and gave me during that season. And I think the cool thing about genuine commitment is when it really is coming from a place of I'm going to love you regardless of your response, it keeps it from becoming codependent. Because I think sometimes people struggle to differentiate genuine commitment from codependency, where, well, if I do this, then they'll do this, this, and this, and everything's back to normal or back to good. And I think you really have to go into it with that expectation of they might not respond, and that's okay. I'm doing it anyway to keep it from getting funky on that codependent side.
So I'm hearing a couple things. Number one, you can ascribe value to someone and say no at the same
time.
Yes,
absolutely.
You can set boundaries, you can impose consequences, and ascribe value to them. In fact, you can say, because I love you so much, this is why I'm saying no, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm also hearing, Carrie, the continual presence of your parents moving towards you during that season, even though you couldn't hear it, it was still accumulating value so that when the day came that you could hear it, it was all waiting for you.
You know, and it's a war. You know, I think for anyone that has lived through abuse, I mean, it's a war. And it's really that war of the lies that are being spoken over you and the war that is truth, you know, and anything that's truth, it's so hard to, you know, to actually receive that because you're hearing all the lies. And so, but yeah, that was critical. And there were moments where I would read those letters and cry and just want to believe that that was true. You know, and I'm so thankful that God got me to a place where I was really willing to say, you know what, I'm going to try. I might not believe it today, but I'm going to try to believe that that's actually accurate because this other is killing me.
Wow.
Well, and,
so good.
You know, in a blended family, very often, you know, you've got somebody that they've divorced, they've remarried, and then they're sending the kid in a home where they're trying to give him the blessing,
yes,
and then you're sending him back to a home where, you
they're
know,
not.
And it's like, remember Ulysses was the story, this guy goes away for 7 years to war. They declared him dead, and his wife was supposed to pick another suitor. So she goes, okay, well, I'm going to, as soon as I finish this thing, so she would weave all day, but then she'd unravel all night. And that's what you kind of feel like. You're going, I'm weaving the blessing into these kids, and then I'm sending them back to this home, and they're unraveling it. Well, they're not unraveling it all the way.
Hmm.
And what I'm getting at is you can put a safety stitch in there. Well, the Lord can, okay? Because the only way you're able to do this, I mean, it started off with me saying, realize the Lord's never going to bail on you. So now you've got the security to love. So I remember my mom looking at me when I was so angry, just spitting mad and was saying stuff. And I remember she'd say, you know, you can get as mad as you want, and then you can just get glad because I'm not going anywhere and I love you. And I just walk out the door. But I'm telling you, I marveled at how great she was. And now, do you remember going away to college? Or,
yes.
You know, that day?
Yeah.
So I packed, you know, single parent, I'm the last one to leave. My older brother's gone, Jeff's gone. I had such bad grades. I went to junior college on probation. You know, I mean, anybody could get
into
junior college. I know, anybody could get into junior college, but I wrestled in college and I would have never even gotten in without somebody bending the rules, frankly. I remember I'm leaved and I drive off and I realize I've forgotten my sunglasses, which is in Arizona is a big deal, right? So I turn around and come back. Now, Mom was fine. She never cried. She was fine. You know, hey, all right, see ya. I come back and I walk in to get my sunglasses and she's sitting at the kitchen table crying.
Wow.
Well, I bet she probably did that 100 times with me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying, oh, Pollyanna, you got to just not
it's
be
easy.
Emotional.
Right.
I'll go back to Isaiah 40. You know, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? That means cloud cover in Hebrew. God, obviously, you can't see what's going on, or you'd step. It says, or the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. And that's like saying, man, I do this for you, Lord, and I do this, and this is what I get. Where's the justice in that? My kid's off the rails or whatever. And so you can't out-logic emotions. So when we talk about the blessing, that's one of the things where we're trying to say to people, you know, well, look, you know, here's these five things you can do, but it's not a formula. It just helps you have an attitude based on God's love. So I'm glad you went to five because it really, you know, it is the bottom deal. But we probably ought to run through those pretty quick,
Let's do it. So we're talking active commitments, what we've talked about so far, and we're just saying that's the heart to support this person and continually offer a blessing to them.
Yeah.
What are these mechanisms that you call the five elements? We've got four more to go, the four elements: meaningful touch, spoken word, attaching high value, and picturing a special future. Talk to me about those.
Okay. All right.
Well, appropriate meaningful touch really is exactly what it sounds like. It's using touch in an appropriate way to instill value in someone else. You know, placing your hand on their shoulder, holding their hand, giving them a hug, appropriate meaningful touch. And, you know, sometimes today, especially with everything that's going on in our society, touch can be a little bit scary, or we're hesitant to engage. Or if touch was really broken for us, it can be hard to step towards others in that way. But every time a blessing was given in Scripture, there was appropriate meaningful touch, or the laying on of hands. And so it really is a critical part of instilling value in someone around us. Yeah. And in fact, there was a study that just came out where it said women need 8 to 12 small meaningful touches a day to feel secure in their relationships. Wow. You know, and that's not, you know, find their shoulder and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, it's, but throughout the day, you know, and so we need that. And we see that with NICU babies that, you know, they heal faster when there's touch.
Right.
You know, there's all of those studies that support the physical benefits as well as those emotional benefits.
Yeah. I can remember my mom was rheumatoid arthritic. Mm. And so have you seen their hands? You know, mm-hmm. they're really bad. Yeah. This is, you know, it just was in tough shape. So she would drive us to school before she went to work, single parent, right? Mm-hmm. We had to get out of the car and hug her before we went into school. Wow. So every year we made her drop us further
and further.
And then by junior high, what? It's at the, it's inside at the door. You know, just get it over with, Mom. You know, and so she'd give us a hug and we'd stand there stiff as board. So three, you know, boys.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, every day at school, and so that's a big part. So number two is spoken message, Carrie. Jump in there real quick.
Yeah, and you know, that's really using our words. And you know, for so many people, they can say, well, I knew I was loved, but I never heard it.
Mm.
And we have to say it. It's so critical for people to actually hear those words. And so what we encourage you to do with the blessing is to say it and or write it down. Or both is really a good way to do it so that they can keep it. Like I said, I kept so many of those letters. And in fact, you know, when I was at college, every week you and Mom would send me a card in the mail that just had, you know, a little blessing on it and, hey, we're praying for you or whatever was coming up. And I still have all of them, you know, so really using our words to bless people, which kind of goes into the next element, which is attaching high value. Because it's not just enough to say, I love you. We need to be speaking into these areas of value and really unique characteristics that God has given each and every one of us.
Okay, yeah. I want to jump right in there for a minute. Blended family applications. What if you have a stepchild who doesn't want you to touch them? What if they're not sure they like that you love them, right?
Yeah.
And so you can say it in spoken words, but it's not necessarily received well. I mean, my first thought is, and I'm really curious what you guys think, but my first thought is that word appropriate that you used a minute ago, that you have to find what is appropriate for this relationship.
Right.
Yep.
What works here? If it's a fist bump or a high five, that's acceptable touch
right.
for a particular child, then that's what you go with, yeah?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, in clinical studies, the safest place to just to tap somebody on their elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right. Some kids are so broken, if you even raise your hand to them, they might freak out. Mm-hmm. So we're not, you know, saying, again, this isn't a formula. What we're doing is saying, okay, look for times where it's appropriate to do the high five or the fist bump or pat them on the shoulder. But again, with my mom, I'm telling you, we'd just stand there stiff as a board and act like we hated it. Mm-hmm. We didn't, but we'd act like we hated it, you know. And then you use your words. Okay. I carry a letter with me that my great uncle, I never knew my dad really, but my great uncle, I met him accidentally and walked into the library at SMU and saw this office and it had Robert M. Trent. And I just poked my head in the door. I was a goofy college kid, you know, and I, the door's open and here's Robert M. Trent. And I poked my head in and I go, hey, Uncle Bob, I'm your long lost relative, John Trent from Arizona. And this is a throwaway line, total. And he, his eyes open. He goes, are you Joe Trent's boy? That was my uncle. That was actually my great uncle. So my dad's uncle. I didn't even know I had any relatives in Texas, you know, and so he invited me home and got to love on him and his wife of 40 years. They didn't have kids. And long story short is at the end of his life, Aunt Sally had already died and he wrote me a letter and I had to do the, you know, if anybody's had somebody that's really old and you're the one that has to make the decision on the end of life issues. And he goes, you're going to be getting something in the mail. He's dying. And so I'm the one that has to say no heroics. So he sends me a letter and he says, at the end of it, he goes, well, you've helped me so much, you know, and I know you will in this area. And he goes, I love you because you are my son. Now, my dad never chose to put his name on. I carry his name, but he never chose to verbally say it. I've carried that letter with me all my life, well, since college. So anyway, spoken words that say you've got value and that you've got a special future.
John, I'm thinking of a step-parent who's listening to us right now who goes, you mean I have the potential to add that much value to my stepchildren, that they would hear something from me that they couldn't hear from anybody else. Not that you become their parent, you're not replacing anybody, we're not saying any of that, but you become another person who has the ability to attach value to who they are.
Yeah, and Carrie, I mean, again, you know, there were, you went through some really tough years.
Yeah.
But it still meant something down the road. Now, Laura, you know, chose to just do it different. The other sister, you know what I mean? And I, that's what I'm getting at. Some kids, they're like, bring it on. Tell me, they're just ready for somebody, anybody to go. But then there's other kids that just really don't want to hear this blessing. And I think we're talking a lot to them in this whole podcast.
Yeah. So. Well, and I do think that's an important point. You know, you might not see fruit of it today and might be a long journey. We pray that it isn't, but those seeds matter. And I know that they did for me. And, you know, I think you brought up a really good point earlier about how I love you can be really hard to receive. And it can. And I think that's where that, you know, attaching high value really kind of comes into play, because what we ask people to do with the blessing is to pick a character trait. You know, it can be really, really hard to receive I love you. But when you're saying, hey, you are kind, you are compassionate, like a character trait, something that's unique about them, and you're speaking life into that, those can sometimes be things that people come back to. And I know for me, you know, those were some of the things that I came back to in those hard moments.
Carrie, what I love about that is that that too is something, even a step parent listening right now who has a really difficult situation with a stepchild, or a biological parent who has a kid who is maybe spending more time in the other home and they're not coming to your house because of something that's happened in the past, there's been some hurt or whatever, you can still find ways of attaching high value, speaking words of encouragement without the deep personal connection. In other words, you don't have to say, look, you got to love me to receive this. Like, you can just find something, a character trait about them, a quality about them that you compliment. That's not going to feel too violating to somebody. You walk that delicate line sometimes of saying, I care about you and I don't expect anything from you. But I think if a step-parent or a parent in a tough situation can walk that delicate line, then it frees the child to just kind of take what you've offered and set it to the side, perhaps, but it's still there.
Yeah.
You're not asking anything immediately from them.
Yep.
They have space and time to eventually respond.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a brother or sister?
Yep. I got both.
Okay.
Two brothers and a sister.
So either one of them kind of like really smart, or were you the smart kid?
No. Yes. They're all smart in their own way.
But I mean, well, okay. But I have a twin brother that's brilliant. Joe's super smart too. My older brother, but Jeff was, you know, he's an MD, PhD. You know, I called him the other day. What are you working on? And he goes, you wouldn't understand. And he's just, you know, he was the scientific director for the National Human Genome Project, which is the real one. They're the ones that cracked the genetic code now 25 years ago. So he's brilliant. So watch how this whole blessing thing comes together with touch and spoken words that attach high value. And number four is, man, give them a picture, not just of how valuable they are, but how God could maybe do something in the future with it. That's number four.
Okay.
Because kids tend to be literalists when it comes to what we say about them. And they're looking for some light. Where should I go? How do can I really make it or whatever, you know? And then there's that genuine commitment. But anyway, it's senior year. Jeff gets what on his big term paper? What does Jeff get? An A. That's all
an
I
A.
ever got.
An A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
If I don't pass the big senior term paper, I don't graduate from high school. So I work really hard. I didn't start till the night before, and I didn't do footnotes because that looked hard. And I hand wrote, I'm really old, but do you remember typewriters?
Yes, yeah. I've heard of them. Actually, that's where I learned how to type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on a typewriter.
And so, but I'd ran out of typewriter ribbon, so I hand wrote very legibly, but the last two pages. So I turn it in, but in my mind, it's like the Christmas story. Remember with the Red Ryder BB gun when he turns in the theme and the teacher is carrying him around the room, all the kids are, and the teacher is writing A plus on, and I'm thinking, this is such a great paper on the Battle of the Bulge. I mean, I'm a high school student, but they're going to publish this. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. And I get my paper back, and there's all this red, and I get to the last page, and in big letters, I still have the paper, in big letters, she's written D minus. And then she goes, the only reason I'm giving you a D is because I don't want to see you next year.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to see you either, you know, but I'm thinking, I'm out of here. I you know, and so I remember going home and my mom wanted to know if I passed because am I going to walk, you know, graduation. And I remember she'd already seen Jeff's paper, which was an A, right? So she makes me sit down and this is what she does. Okay. So we're at the kitchen table. We have a little bay window. There's a little kitchen table. And she goes, hold my hand. Which we just hated it. We called it the death grip because rheumatoid arthritic, what happened was she would if she wanted us to stay and talk to her, she would hold our hand real gently. She couldn't grab your hand. But if you pulled away, it would twist her wrist and she'd cry because it hurt so bad. So we called it the death grip.
Wow.
But what is that? Appropriate, meaningful touch. And then she goes, bright eyes makes the heart glad. Look at me. Okay, look at me. And she goes, now just, where, you know, let me see your paper. And so I hand her the paper. And she reads through the whole thing. And then she looks up at me. And by then, my head's down. And when she gets to the last page, and I'll never forget, she looked at me and she goes, I don't care what that teacher says. You do such a good job of using words when you write. I wouldn't be surprised if God used you someday to help other people with your words. Well, none of my teachers were telling me that, but I thank God I had somebody that would say that. Now, again, you may be saying, well, I could do that. My kid would throw the paper back in my face. Well, I did that 100 other times, but I didn't do it that day.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm getting at is, and Carrie, I think, is saying that.
Yeah, those seeds stay with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, and you've told me things like that, well, you know, before, you know, and I remember you kept saying, Carrie, you see people that are hurting and you reach out and meet with them and encourage them. And I remembered that. It's kind of that self-fulfilling prophecy when when you begin to speak those words of life over people, those are things that stick and they're hearing so many negatives. You know, everywhere you go, you're hearing those negatives and those positives, especially when they're tied to a specific character trait like that, really stick with you.
Yeah.
And they can for your kids and stepkids as well.
Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real joy to get some time with you and hear your story, and I appreciate that. And John, I just have to say, you're one of my heroes. I really
I'll pay
mean
you
that.
Back that money I owe you.
Yeah, you bet. I've spent my entire career in family ministry, and you have impacted me in a million ways.
Wow,
and it's
you.
Made a difference in who I am and how I try to minister to other people and how I try to love my own family. And so I appreciate it very much. Thank you for being with us today.
Hey, and thanks to your ministry and this awesome way to reach people.
Thank you. You've been listening to my conversation with John Trent and Carrie Stageberg. I'm Ron Deal, and this is Family Life Blended. Carrie's going to tell you how to go online and take the blessing challenge in a minute. But before that, if you've learned anything or were encouraged by this podcast, would you take a second and rate us? Give us a quick review. All of that helps others find us and gain what you've gained today. You know, most of our discussions seem to be about parents blessing children, but the principles apply to all relationships. John and Carrie's book actually outlines ways you can bless your spouse, friends, coworkers, which brings me to a challenge. For those of you with a former spouse, I'd like for you to consider how you might give a version of the blessing to your former spouse. Now, wait a minute. There's more. In front of your child. Okay, I just lost some of you. Hear me out. Hang on. Let me just talk through this for a minute, all right? I am not saying become a doormat. I am not saying that give your former spouse everything they want. Just be sweet and kind all the time. This is really about your child and what will benefit them. Just imagine how it will impact and improve your co-parenting, for example. So imagine your child hears you say to your former spouse in front of the child, they hear you say, "I really appreciate how much you give to our son. I love what it does for him." You see how that might foster some peace between the households? It's kind of like an olive branch. And ultimately, it blesses your children. Who knows? It may improve your co-parenting as well. Now, I do want to clarify, this blessing is limited in scope and affection. You know, so for example, you're going to comment on the value the former spouse has to your children, not necessarily to you specifically. Now, sometimes kids kind of have this fantasy that mom and dad will get back together again, so you do want to be careful about what you say and how you say it. You don't want to get their hopes up when that's not going to be a possibility. And the other thing I want to add here is that you want to set a good context for doing this. You want to make sure you honor your current marriage. Like, go to your spouse and affirm your commitment to them. In fact, that's your first point of action before doing this, is talk to them, tell them what you're doing and why you're doing this. You don't want them surprised or wondering what's behind it, okay? And if your spouse isn't comfortable with the idea, then just delay, right? You don't have to do it. Wait a while, revisit the subject, see if things have changed. But having said all of that, consider what a blessing it would be to your kids to have some of the animosity pushed aside between you and a former spouse, to have a spirit of cooperation demonstrated between you. You know, a lot of people in America are really sick of the way our political leaders on opposite sides of the aisle criticize each other, call each other names, let alone give each other a compliment, right? If you're tired of that, then likewise, you don't want to be that kind of co-parent. Your kids get tired of it. They would love some relief from that climate. So just think about this. That's all I'm asking. I recognize this is not a suggestion that every person should attempt today. Just think about it. If you'd like more information about our guests, you can find it in our show notes. You can also check it out on the Family Life Blended page at familylife.com/podcasts. I do want you to know we do enjoy hearing from you, hearing your feedback. That means a lot to us. And positive reviews on your app or online, all of that is really helpful for us, and it helps other people find the podcast. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and search Family Life Blended with Ron Deal. And remember to look in the show notes. There's additional resources down there, links to information and different things you might want to know about. And you can find information about our other podcasts at the Family Life Podcast Network. Family Life Blended is the leading ministry for step families around the world. We'd love for you to visit us online. Check us out, all the articles and freebies that are available. Just go to familylife.com/blended. We really are committed to serving you by providing excellent resources, book, video, audio, online resources for you and your family and your local church. I've been telling you about the 10th anniversary edition of my video curriculum, The Smart Step Family, and the Participants Guide. That's recently been revised and released. In addition, over the next few months, we've got three book releases I want to tell you about. The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning comes out in September. September 2019. Lauren writes him his book, In Their Shoes, Helping Parents Better Understand and Connect with Children of Divorce, comes out in October. And the book I've co-authored with the New York Times bestselling author Dr. Gary Chapman, called Building Love Together in Blended Families, that book will come out in February of 2020. All of these resources, if they're not available now, they will be at familylife.com or wherever you buy your books. If you're not planning to join us for the Summit on Stepfamily Ministry in Chesapeake, Virginia this week, you'll be able to access it online. That's the good news. Just go to the show notes and we'll let you know how you can get the all-access digital pass for the Summit on Stepfamily Ministry. Now, here's Carrie on how you can take the Blessing Challenge.
Yeah, actually, if you go to theblessing.com and click Take the Blessing Challenge, it's really short. There's just a couple of videos, but it'll actually walk you through this process of giving your blessing, and it even has a list of character traits that you can choose from, because sometimes it is kind of hard to start brainstorming those ideas. So we've tried to make it really easy. It's free on the website. So yeah, just go to theblessing.com.
Next time, I'll be talking with co-authors Greg Pettis and David Edwards about our newest book, The Smart Stepfamily Guide to Financial Planning. Now, we've all seen headlines about celebrity families that are having fights over money after someone passes away, and they really haven't done their work to figure out how to manage all that as a blended family. Well, we want to help you understand that merger of relationships, family dynamics, estate planning, and how to manage money day to day.
We all are afraid of what we don't know. A lot of stepchildren do not know what their parent is going to do. They have question marks all their lives, and then they find it out at the reading of the will. It's the worst situation.
That's financial planner Greg Pettis and estate attorney David Edwards next time on Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our Family Life Legacy partners for making this podcast possible. Our chief audio engineer is Keith Lynch, Bruce Goff, our producer. Our mastering engineer is Justin Adams, and theme music provided by Braden Deal. Family Life Blended is produced by Family Life and is part of the Family Life Podcast Network.